Welcome to the Turning Point Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed this week's message from lead pastor Nathan Newell. For additional messages and other resources, you can visit us at www.tpoint.church.
I bless you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, have it all. Lord God, have it all. Just have the whole thing. Just have it all. Just have it all. Have it all. Just have the whole thing. Have the whole thing. Have the church. Have our lives. Have everything. Have it all. Have our business. Have our career. Have our future. Have it all. Have it all. Hallelujah. Lord God, stir the passion and the zeal of this house. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
God said that there would be a time that those things that can be shaken will be shaken. And the reason why he does that is to differentiate between what we've built and what he's built. So that the things that can be shaken will be shaken. So that what he has done and what he has intended turns out to be the only truth, the only way, the only life. Lord, let us not be afraid of the shaking. The shaking. The shaking. Don't be afraid of the shaking that's going on in your life. Don't be afraid of the things that are moving and that are shifting. Don't be afraid. Are you a child of God? Are you a son and a daughter of the living God? Then do not be fearful of the things that are moving and that are shifting and that are shaking. Because what he is doing, and he is bringing to your recognition, he's bringing to you awareness. What is his, what is him, and what is you? He is revealing in this time. I believe he's doing a revealing work in the church as a whole. We were at a conference last October, and the word that kept coming over and over again at that conference as our staff was at that conference was shift, the shift that was coming. And part of what I believe is happening is that it is a shaking and a shifting in the church as a whole. When I say the church, I'm talking about the American church. The entertainment will not carry. The entertainment factor, and the thing is that both have to shift. It's got to change not just from the platform, it has to change within the people. For a platform that has gotten so used to entertaining and a people that have been so used to being entertained. And so the sitting and the watching is coming to an end. I said the sitting and the watching is coming to an end. And I'm not just talking about right here, right now, in this moment. What God is moving us from is a sitting and watching kind of lifestyle. When I'm talking attending, being there, but not necessarily being there. Whatever can be shaken will be shaken. There was something else that as you were talking, Pastor, and as that word was coming forth this morning, I want to encourage you in this church. As much as God is speaking straight to us, I want to also encourage you in this. that you refuse to be afraid and be a victim to fear. No longer be a victim to fear. He has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And it is in those moments of fear that we have the greatest opportunity for faith to come forward. It's actually in the moments that make us most afraid that we have the greatest opportunity for faith and for the miraculous to come to pass. It's when the storm is moving and active and it looks like a ghost walking along the water. And everyone in the boat is scared out of their mind. It's a ghost. And what is the first thing that Jesus has to do? He has to speak to the fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's me. Peter, in the midst of that fear, Lord, if that be you, let me come out on the water where you are. Come on, man. And that moment that was so full of fear, that when Jesus came into the situation, immediately became a moment of faith. So what you're afraid of and what you're falling victim to is in fear is quite possibly the greatest potential for an act of faith in your life right now. The greatest opportunity for something of don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I say again, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. What does it look like? When I'm coming down to my last few dollars and God is saying, give it, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why would you be afraid in that moment? Do you not remember the story of the woman who was asked by the prophet to give your last meal to me, give it to the Lord, and what happened? Her house was provided for completely. His harvest system works wonderfully. What is that fear? God is moving this church. He's moving us out of a place of fear and into timidity and into a place of power, love, and of a sound mind. Amen. I'm not preaching the message, obviously. It's closed. It's closed. But I want to tell you this, church, because I believe in it so much. We are asking, you know, that for this conference, there is a cost. Yes, we are asking you to invest, and that's exactly what it is. There's a lot of things that we purchase and that we buy that provide no continual value to us. They meet a temporary need, and we buy stuff all of the time. What qualifies it as an investment is that it gets paid back, that what I sow into comes back to me. So when you choose a mutual fund or a portfolio or some other form of investment, whether it be in a business or something else, when you choose that investment, you are expecting to get a return. When we are so much consumer-minded, then we're just purchasing things that meet the need for the moment. That's why we're asking for an investment in the conference, because as we invest, we receive over and over and over again. And I'm telling you, this weekend is going to be life-altering, life-changing. It's going to be that way for our church. When they started talking about the plans for this conference, I was like, the first place has to be here. It has to be for us. Not just because it's going to be a great weekend, which it's going to be, but because it's going to alter the trajectory and the ministry of this church as a whole. God's going to do a wonderful work through it. He's going to do a wonderful work. I have the utmost confidence in our founding pastor, his wife, their family. But here's what's going to be happening, and I know I'm talking about this, but hear me. This is more than just about a conference, and they understand this as well. This is more than just about a few meetings. There are going to be sessions. We're starting on Friday. There'll be sessions on Saturday as well. But then Sunday will be a demonstration Sunday. It will be a part of the conference and will pour over into Sunday morning. So even those who haven't attended for the weekend who will be here on Sunday will be those who will be able to partake and be able to see the fruit of what has happened over the weekend. And that there will be demonstration. That there will be demonstration.
Hallelujah.
We're going to participate in that together. And can I just tell you that that's where the life is? The life is in the participation. It's in the participation. When I was a junior in college, I was done with college. I was done. I finished college because my parents would kill me if I didn't. But I finished, and it really wasn't that I didn't enjoy college. I gained so much through that college experience, but what was happening by my junior year is that I was done sitting in a classroom. I was done sitting in a classroom. And it was probably a little bit of pride as a young adult too, but I was like, man, I got this. Let me go out, heal some sick and raise some dead, and let's go cast out some demons. Stop talking about it. Let me go do it. And I will tell you this, as much as there are many things that I wasn't ready for, and God knew better. The classroom is great. And we are to be students. Our entire life we're to be students. But we're not to hide in the classroom. Because you know what I was taught? Experience is the best teacher. Experience is the best teacher. Experience. And this is what I'll leave you with this morning. We're gonna wrap up here in just a couple minutes, but this is what I want to leave with, and that is experience. And not just experience the doing for the sake of the doing, but experiencing Him. Experiencing Him. What does the word say? Abide in you and you in me, for without me you can do nothing. You can do nothing. You can accomplish nothing. But the key is you in me, I in you, and we work this thing together. So this is going to be more than just about doing the work for the sake of the work. How many of y'all know that only cuts it for so long? Without knowing the one. Experience is the greatest teacher. One experience with Him will mean more than 1,000 classes. Because one experience with Him, all of a sudden it makes every word in this book come to life. These words are spirit and they are life. One encounter, one experience with the Holy One, with Yahweh, one encounter with Him makes everything in there start to come to life. Eyes get open, ears pop open. Experience is the greatest teacher. So then what I do comes out of who I am with Him. As we continue to step forward as a church, I encourage you in this. As we continue to step forward, as we continue to test the boundaries of our own understanding of our own culture, let us be open to everything that God has for us, whatever God has for us, at whatever time he says, let us be open to it. God is speaking here this morning. He's moving. He wants an experience with you. I said a couple minutes before, I'm going to leave you this one thing and then I'm going to be done. One more thing, I promise. And that's it. I promise. This last week was up in Nashville, and we were for the ministry network. Okay, so they bring in other pastors to interview pastors that are coming in, or their young pastors that are coming up, receiving credentials, all that kind of thing. And so we were there. We were me and another pastor were conducting interviews, and we had three interviews. One was with a couple who was a youth pastor, another young man who was a youth pastor. He's 28 years old, and then another pastor who was 74, and he's looking for his next church. And anyway, I say all that just to set up that the meeting with this young man. He was 28, and he's a youth pastor at a church here in Tennessee. And we're going through the questions. Of course, they give us questions that we're to ask, and you know, and all that sort of thing. And God began to stir on my heart, because I see this young man, and I'm seeing him sitting there, and he's answering all the questions right. And something in my heart, I just begin to be moved for this guy. And this was my first time conducting these interviews, and so I was letting the other pastor really take the lead. And there was this opening in the conversation. I felt like now's the time. And I said, man, I got a question for you. And I said, where is your secret place? Where is your secret place? And he wasn't really sure how to answer. I've only asked that question to a few other people. And what's crazy to me is that how many times in those situations people really don't know how to answer that. And yet the people that do, they know exactly what I'm asking when I'm asking it. Where is your secret place? Meaning, where is the place where you have met with God? Where is the place? Where he touched your life. Where is a secret place? Where is the place that you continue to go back to? It was like Jacob who went to Bethel. And so this other pastor started to explain it and all that sort of thing. And I was like, well, I want to let this guy answer the question. I want to let him answer the question. But he started explaining, you know, what's your devotional life like and all of that, then all of that sort of thing. No, I'm not asking you how many times, how long is your Bible reading, or how long is your prayer time. I'm not asking that. I'm asking, where is the evidence of the encounter and the experience with God in your life? What can you point to that says that immediately when you start talking about it, you start tearing up? Because you had a moment with God. You had a moment at the prayer chapel, Southeastern University. And you will always remember that place. You'll always remember that. You'll remember the floor of the gymnasium of the youth camp that you went to. And there was a moment there where God met you and he touched you. Where's that moment? Where is that? Where is that experience that you point? I'm not really asking you where the place is. I'm asking you, where's the experience? Where's the encounter? Where's the time where God touched you and you knew that he touched you? Where he spoke to you and you knew that it was his voice? Where the peace the peace of his presence washed over you like a warm bucket of water just being gently poured over your head, and every fear and every stress just melted away in a moment. Where is that? That's something that goes beyond knowledge and information and memory verses and Sunday school answers. It points to an experience. It points to an encounter. He sent his words, not so that we would just know the words, but that we would know the writer. That we would know the author and the finisher of our faith. Even this weekend, we can't come into this weekend just wanting to do the works of the ministry, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because so many times we want to do that because we feel like that's the next step for us as a believer. That's the next thing. And my goodness, yes, it is, but only if our heart is first in the place where I want another experience with God. I want a deeper experience and encounter with God. And then from there, let the gifts. Otherwise, then I'm just trying to get more knowledge and more gifts and get more classes and get more sessions so that I can know more about the person I don't know. And we get it backwards. We get it backwards. Abide in me and I in you, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You can speak with all the tongues of men and angels. You can do all of these things. What did we say last week? The difference on the day where we see God face to face will not be what we did. It will be who we knew. Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not speak in other tongues? Did we not go to the sessions and learn how to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And he says, worker of lawlessness. What makes it lawlessness is that you're operating outside and you're operating in authority without knowing the authority himself. And the thing is that he is available to us. Him and his fullness. In his fullness. Not just to the apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, missionaries. Where is your secret place? I call him a kid. 28 years old isn't quite a kid, is it? I begin to tear up because he really didn't know how to answer. I said, man, you can do all of this for Jesus and never once do it with him, and you'll miss. As successful as you can be or think you, if there's any success in public, it will never feel like it. Not if there's any success that's happening in private. That's right. You will never feel like it. You'll never feel it. You'll always feel second best. You'll always feel like you're not quite measuring up. But he wants to meet with you. He's jealous for you. He wants to meet with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to show you great mysteries. I'm not talking to that 28-year-old youth pastor right now. I'm talking to this church. He wants to meet with you. He wants to encounter with you. What's going to be the driving factor for you going forward in your life? is more than the next session or more than the next sermon. It will be. And can only be an encounter with Him. For some of you, that means a new encounter with Him. A fresh experience. Anybody here would like to have a fresh experience with the Lord? For some of you, that experience may catch you by surprise. We spent the last 2 weeks on two people who had an encounter with Jesus. Totally different people. One man, one woman, Nicodemus, woman at the well. One who had a name, one obviously who didn't have a name. One who was a Pharisee, one was a Samaritan. They couldn't be further apart. One who met Jesus under the cover of night, and one out in the open at a well. But both had encounters with Jesus that transformed them. But what will happen from here, and really what our hearts are longing for anyway, is an experience with Him. Is it not? Isn't that what our heart's really longing for anyway? The Word, I'm thankful for the Word, but what I've taken from sermons and messages was that that Word was to get me to Him. That Word was to get me to Him. That Word was to get me to Him. It wasn't just to get me to an altar. The reason why I'd run to an altar or I'd throw myself on the altar or come to an altar was not because I so magnify or worship the altar. It's because I want to meet with Him. If you'll be open, I believe God will lead you. Nicodemus went and sought out, reluctantly sought out the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus just showed up at the well where the woman was coming. That shows you that Jesus can do this any way He likes to. Whether He has to show up and get your attention and call out your stuff, or whether He leads you through the heart to come and ask questions. My God, no man can come to Jesus unless the Holy Spirit draw him. Unless the Holy Spirit draw them. Lord, I pray for bravery and for courage to step into new experiences with You. Can you answer the question, have you ever had, when was the last time you had a true, authentic experience with God? Can you say that you have ever had an experience with God? How about one that was so terrifying? So terrifying it took you to the floor. If you look back through the Word, you'll see most of the time a messenger or the Lord showed up, the first reaction was total fear. Shepherds, be not afraid. We bring glad tidings. Mary, don't be afraid. Gideon, don't be afraid. We're determined for us to have the life, this church to have the life that is lived in God, not just for God and apart from Him, doing the work without ever knowing the One who called us and the One who made us and the One who created us. I refuse to do ministry like that. I did it that way for a long time. I'm still working my way out of this thing. Can I be honest about it? I'm still working my way out of this thing, working my way out of the constructs that I've built over the last 40 years. I'm saying, God, do a real thing, a real thing, have a real experience, a real encounter. Lord, I thank you for what you're speaking in this room. I thank you that you are laying the groundwork. You are laying the foundation, and no foundation can be laid except what the Lord has laid. Father, that we are going and we are stepping into new territory in Jesus' name. New understanding. Lord God, where again, we will not be satisfied with what has been and what got us here. Lord, we're thankful for the manna that showed up every single day. We're thankful, Lord, for the water that was poured out of the hard place and out of the rock. But God, we are looking to the promise that there is a place that is flowing with milk and with honey, where there is much fruit and is bearing fruit. And God has called us to bear fruit. Well, that also comes by abiding in him and he in us. Therefore, we will bear much fruit. For apart from him, we can do nothing. With God, all things are possible. Lord, and we pray as a congregation. Stand, would you very quickly stand. Grab hands with the person next to you. If you can stretch across an aisle, then do so. Leave no one unconnected, please. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. I'm going to ask you to bring every thought into the captivity of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask for your heart to be with in this prayer. But Father, we are in agreement together, Lord, that a fresh and new experience is for this house and for every person in this room. That you are no respecter of persons, but you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. Lord, and let us be found a church, a house that diligently seeks you. Lord, that longs for more than a sermon and a song, but longs for the relationship, that longs for the experience, that longs for an encounter. Lord, we don't just look at these stories and say, man, what good stories they are. They really help me out. But God, they are the stories that inspire a desire to know you and to see you. Lord, to hear you like Moses heard you. To see you like Moses heard you. Lord, to be able to declare, if your presence doesn't go, we don't want to go. Lord God, because there was something that he valued because of something he experienced. Lord, we can't go on without an experience. We can't go on. We can't go on. We can't go on. Our praise feels empty without an experience. I don't know how many are in the room with me, but you truly and desperately long for an experience, an encounter with God. I'm asking God for another encounter myself. A few months ago, he did something, and I had a moment with him that I'd never experienced before in my life, where I felt the literal oil of the Lord running down my back, and I felt the wind of the Holy Spirit rushing across me. What one encounter did, and I didn't even get to see the train of his robe. I didn't even get to see his backside. I didn't even get to see the hair like wool and the eyes like fire. has done more and has brought more to light and has spoken more of his love for me and his thoughtfulness of me, that put all of the times that I've sat under teaching and sermons and messages and in church, that brought all of that to life. Lord, and I pray for every person in this room who is desirous to truly encounter the living God, to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, that it would be so. Lord, and that you would do it in a matter of days. 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 For all those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. Lord God, that you will do a work in a matter of days. That they will be able to speak that I had a moment with God. Had a moment with God. And Father, I remove in Jesus' name all of the constructs, all of the limits, all of the things that we try to fit it in. Oh, Lord Jesus, I can't tell you. I spent much of my early ministry life trying to have encounters and experience like my pastor. I thank God for his stories. I thank for how he led the way in that. But God has specific encounters for you. You don't have to try and have encounters like somebody else. You don't have to try and have experiences like someone else. You don't have to try and work it up. This is something where we simply make ourselves available for God to encounter us, to have a moment with us. God, I want to feel your presence. There is nothing wrong with asking God to feel his presence, to know that he is near.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Turning Point Church. To stay connected, we invite you to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media. If you're in the Middle Tennessee area, we'd love for you to join us for a Sunday or midweek service. God bless you and have a wonderful week.